Go back to the 10th chapter. We'll come back to Ezra. Keep your finger there. But go back to the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. I talked about some sinister personalities. I want to talk about satanic power that is given to these sinister personalities. Daniel chapter 10. Now, Daniel chapter 10 follows Daniel chapter 9. Is it that profound? But it is profound because what happened in Daniel chapter 9? You know how you read through the book of Daniel? You do not read chapters 1 through 12. Daniel 1 through 12 does not unfold chronologically. You read Daniel like this, chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. Then you go to chapters 7 and 8. Then you read chapters 5 and 6. And then you go to chapters 9, 10, 11, and 12. You see, it's chapter 5 with the fall of the Babylonian Empire under the Medes and the Persians. It's chapter 6, Daniel in the lion's den, under the Medes and the Persians. In chapter 7, he was still in the Babylonian Empire. He was 65 years of age. He had just received a vision himself, parallel to the vision of Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2. In chapter 8, he's given more visions. So again, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 5, 6. Then chapter 9. Daniel in chapter 9 is given a message from God through Gabriel, the communicating archangel, of what's going to happen, a special plan, Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, a special people, and thy holy city, a special place. So a special plan for a special people in a special place. You want to know what God's doing? Understand his plan, 70 weeks, 490 years. Want to know what God's doing? Then watch the special people, the Jewish people, the special place, the city of Jerusalem. Focus on Jerusalem and the Jew. You'll know exactly where God is in his time frame. But that's chapter 9. And God tells him in chapter 9, verses 25 and 26, the day that Messiah would show up. It's the greatest verse in the world to use to witness to Jewish people. Chapter 9, verse 27, the appearance of Antichrist, that confirmation of a peace agreement. Now we move to chapter 10, and Daniel says, I want more. I got a bit from what Gabriel told me, but I want more. So he then decides to go to prayer and fasting, and he puts on the sackcloth, and for 3 weeks, 21 days, he's in prayer. And he is prostrate before the Lord, and he wants to know what God is doing. I need more information on here. I need more information. God then dispatches a heavenly visitor. I happen to believe the heavenly visitor, I don't want you to get sidelined here, but I believe the heavenly visitor is the person Jesus Christ himself. He's going to be the one dispatched by God to come to give Daniel, a man greatly beloved, it says, he's going to come to give him the message. He comes. He stopped for 21 days. You said, how could Jesus Christ be stopped for 21 days? You see, it's going to be the prince of Persia is going to stop him for 21 days, and Michael the archangel has to come to help him. How could it be Jesus Christ? I ask you, how could anybody put Jesus Christ on a cross unless he wanted to be there? Doesn't have anything to do with what stops him. It's what Christ wants to have happen. Don't argue about who the heavenly visitor is. You can say who it is. I believe it's Jesus because the description is the same as Revelation chapter 1. Anyway, the heavenly visitor arrives. He comes. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then saith he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand. By the way, there's a purpose for prophecy, setting your heart to understand. And to chasten thyself before thy God. There's a second reason for studying prophecy. Bring yourself into purity before Almighty God. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the king of Persia. The prince of Persia. Who is the prince of Persia? We get a hint from that same verse when it says, Michael, one of the chief princes. What he's talking about here is angels. Michael the archangel, the chief angel, or one of the two archangels, chief angels, comes to help Jesus Christ. The prince of Persia is an angel also. Michael is a good angel. The prince of Persia is an evil angel coming out to stop Jesus Christ, or the heaven, whoever the heavenly visitor is. In the 20th verse, we're going to see the prince of Greece. There's another evil angel in the 10th chapter. What is this talking about? Well, let me just review with you how angels came into existence. Everything was created in the 6 24-hour days. I don't care what that man in San Antonio, Texas says when he puts up that chart and it says all evil angels, demonic creatures, were created prehistorically. That's an oxymoron. There's no such thing as prehistoric anything. If history is the record of what happened, how can you have something before that happening? You'd have the record of it. We don't have it. History, his story. So there's no such thing as prehistoric. Angels were all created in some place in those 6 24-hour days. When were they created? Job chapter 38 says in verse 7 that the angels sang to praise God when God created the earth. So the angels were here before he created the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God creates the heavens, and that's plural. There's three of them, third heaven, second heaven, first heaven. He created the heavens, third heaven where God is, second heaven where the stars and galaxies are, first heaven is where the sun and the clouds are out there. He created them all. Then he created angels. How do I know? Job chapter 38, verse 7, the angels sang for glory when God created the earth. But in 6 days, everything was good he created. Well, that's what it says, at least in chapter 1, verse 31. It says, and in the sixth day was over, I looked at what I had created, and in the Hebrew it says, he said, it was abundantly excellent. I love that phrase. It was abundantly excellent. Everything was perfect. No evil angels in the first 6 days. Chapter 3, verse 1, Satan has showed up. Sometime between chapter 1, verse 31, and chapter 3, verse 1, one-third of all the angels created, how many ever that would have been, I think it's 12 billion. I don't care what you want to say, but I think it's 12 billion. 4 billion of them thrown out of the third heaven to the first heaven. And that's where they've been for 6,000 years. How do I know that? I read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers of darkness, evil, principalities, rulers of this world in the heavenlies. And I also read the 12th chapter. I read it to you yesterday, the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 7, where it says, and the angels, our evil ones, are going to be thrown out of heaven down to the earth. Satan and all of his evil angels, they're thrown from the first heaven. 6,000 years ago, they were thrown from the third heaven to the first heaven. Very soon now, they'll be thrown from the first heaven to earth to persecute the Jew. But what's going on now? Daniel 10 says, Satan is dispatching evil angels to take control of human leaders. You see, God dispatched Michael. Who's Michael? The protecting archangel of the nation of Israel. So God is doing it, and what does Satan always do? Replicate what God's doing. Now he dispatches evil angels to take control. What would make a man named Adolf Hitler kill 6 million Jews for no other reason except they were guilty of being Jewish? Adolf Hitler, it's documented in PBS television series, documentary. Adolf Hitler was a part of the occult, demonically controlled. Demonism, witchcraft, Agag, rebellion. And Satan dispatches evil angels. Ever wonder why world leaders make decisions like they do? I did all the way until I read chapter 10 of Daniel. Now I know evil angels dispatched, taking control of human leaders. Having said that, go back to Esther. The proof text for this evil angel of Persia is the book of Esther. And his tool is a man named Haman. Got the third chapter of Esther? Let me show you something really interesting. Just about to finish, so don't get too excited. Third chapter of the book of Esther, verse 1. After these things did Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. You know what that says? That says that Haman was a descendant of Agag. King Agag, 1 Samuel chapter 15, who was not destroyed, but God told him to destroy. And now Haman is going to try to destroy the Jews. Agag, remind me, who Agag was the king of the Amalekites.